This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep, joined this morning by our colleague Michelle Norris. Welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you, Steve.
She's host of our afternoon news magazine, All Things Considered, and we've been listening together to voters as they talk about race and the election. For the record, I'm white.
And I'm black. And we've assembled 15 voters, black, white, Latino, and South Asian.
That makes them as diverse as York, Pennsylvania, the city where we've now met them twice. We had dinner together this week.
Good. Hello, Leah.
Hi there.
Good to see you again.
We circled the chairs in a hotel suite.
Do you want this seat? Do you want me to take the sofa? Okay.
If we'd turned on the TV in the corner, we'd likely have seen campaign ads.
Pennsylvania is a battleground state, and our group is helping decode language in the presidential campaign. That requires decoding some language of their daily lives.
Do you put a label on yourself?
Interesting question.
Especially interesting for Jasmine Byers, a woman with curly hair and green eyes. She's half black and half white.
You know, sometimes when you're filling out applications for college or just for a job or how do I want to be identified or perceived, and sometimes you wonder, well, would it benefit me to maybe put select African American only? Well, then I'm like, well, that's not really truly who I am. So a lot of times I find myself selecting other.
To some degree, you get to make a choice.
Absolutely.
Which brings to mind Barack Obama's choices. If asked directly, the Democrat says he's black. Some of his ads display his white mother and grandparents.
And so the question is, does that make a difference in how he is received or accepted or maybe rejected by voters as they've gone through this very long election season?
I understand his world. I'm white in color, but I'm Latina in heart and blood.
Maribel Burgos, who's Puerto Rican, says she understands because it's her world, too.
On paper, they need to be hiring minorities. I am Latina, but when I walk into a place, they automatically say, whew, she looks white, she's one of us, and I get hired. You know, So I use it both ways, and it's a sad world, but it is reality.
We come in so many hues. I mean, I myself, my father was a light-skinned black man. My mother was a dark-skinned black woman.
Margie Orr works as a receptionist.
It goes back to really skin coloring, because I really don't think Barack Obama would have gotten as far as he has if his skin coloring was dark.
I just have a question that I don't have an answer for necessarily, but nobody has talked about why.
The question comes from Sarah Iacoviello. She's white, conservative, and expecting her second child.
Is it because that a lighter-skinned black man looks more white, looks more Caucasian? I'm just wondering.
It's not just that they look more white. It's that in this country, if you are of a lighter hue, it probably means that you are mixed with white.
Okay.
Blood.
Calvin Weary is a dark-skinned man and a high school drama teacher.
The thing is when you talk about a Barack Obama, who they show you these pictures of his white family and who he grew up with, what it's basically saying to the American people is, don't worry. You don't have to worry about him doing these things that you might think he might do that comes from this African-American culture.
Before decoding more of the campaign, we should explain something. Some people of color say they have a complicated relationship to their country.
Take Margie Orr. She's not the kind of person who hangs a flag outside her door.
I'm proud of America, but I'm not there putting a flag on my house.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe it's because when the United States shows me that I'm of totally... a total equal person, then maybe I will put a flag out on my property.
As Margie Orr suggests, America has sometimes excluded African Americans. Now a black man is seeking to lead America.
And with that in mind, consider some campaign language about America and patriotism.
John McCain has a slogan that was used very often, and the convention has been used very often since. Two words, country first. Has anybody heard that?
Yes.
Country first? Take a crack at it for me. Your view matters because they're appealing to you. How does that phrase, country first, distinguish John McCain from his opponent?
Well, on this specific one, I think he's trying to say three things.
Jeff Lobach is a lawyer. He's white, and he supports John McCain.
First, he's trying to remind the voters about how he's lived his life, and especially the showcase experience of the POW time. I think he has a whole litany of things that come after country. One of them is party. And I think he's trying to make that statement that he has a history of bipartisanship, too, reaching across the aisle. And those things, I think, are admirable and good tactics. Perhaps less admirable is I think he's using it to raise questions about whether his opponent also puts his country first.
You're saying that as a McCain supporter that you see not the only message there, but one of the messages, hey, Barack Obama is less patriotic than our guy.
I do think that's the intention, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who gets that sense.
Leah Moore, what do you think?
I think McCain is much more patriotic than Barack Obama.
Leah Moreland has been listening to conservative media claims about Obama's religion, about his years overseas, about his links to a 1960s radical, Bill Ayers.
Ayers was featured in a speech by vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin. We listened to some tape of what Palin said about Obama.
Now, this is not a man who sees America as you and I see America. We see America as a force for good in this world. We see an America of exceptionalism. Yes, USA, USA.
When we play that tape, it gets Charlotte Bergdahl, an undecided voter, wondering about the we who see America a certain way.
I don't like that word we. Yeah. Who's we? We? Does she mean Republicans?
Probably her party base, I would assume.
I'm assuming, but...
Does she mean you?
She should have said I.
This question of who's we. Sarah Palin has defined who we is. She said, I'm speaking for all the Joe Sixpacks out there. When you hear the phrase Joe Sixpack, who is that? Who do you imagine?
Common, everyday working man.
Yep.
Listen to his country music.
Country first.
Then a man named Mohammed Khan speaks up.
He's an immigrant from Bangladesh. He owns a diner with a giant American flag painted on the outside of the building.
Joe Sixpack is people just like me. Work every day, pay their taxes, but she is not talking for me.
In some people's minds, Joe Sixpack is a white guy.
Mom.
Anybody else think so?
No.
Yeah, that's a white man. That's what she meant.
Blanche, go ahead, actually. You've been waiting.
As soon as I heard her say that, I knew exactly what she was talking about.
That's Blanche Hake, a retired teacher.
When I hear Joe Sixpack, I think of the hunter and his gun and his dog, and that's a definite white man out in the countryside. And I have a son like that who is the Joe Sixpack.
The gist of it is that the white man is the hard worker.
Margie Orr.
The others are lazy. They don't work as hard. So that's where the Joe Sixpack comes in. He's a hard-working white man. Mm.
This tour of language and its meanings doesn't seem to surprise one member of our group, that drama teacher, Cal Weary.
He voted twice for President Bush and now supports Barack Obama.
This is a political battle. It's a battle. And short of these guys sitting in a pit with socks and stones hitting each other and whoever comes out of it wins, they're going to play. They're going to tug at our heartstrings. They're going to tug at our emotions. They're going to tug at our primal fears of each other because each of them believes that they are the one who can do the best job for this country, and they'll do whatever they need to do to get there, short of something illegal.
Talk to this group of voters in York, Pennsylvania, and you do hear the primal fears that Cal Weary mentioned.
And we'll explore those fears when our conversation on race continues this afternoon on All Things Considered.
I feel if we put Obama in the White House, there will be chaos.
You can read one view of why it's so hard to talk about race and also see photos of York at npr.org.